This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and today on Traffic Pattern, we're going to talk about a maneuver that looks embarrassingly simple on paper but quietly fails more private pilot applicants than you'd guess. Turns across a road. I know you're thinking, really? S-turns? That's the topic. But here's the thing. When your designated pilot examiner asks you to fly S-turns, they're not just checking whether you can make the airplane go left and right. They're watching to see if you understand the wind. If you can see it, feel it, and adjust for it in real time without being told what to do. And that skill, that wind awareness, is the foundation of every landing you'll ever make for the rest of your flying life. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate say you need to select a suitable ground reference line and perform S-turns at a constant altitude, maintaining coordinated flight with equal-size half circles on each side of the reference line. You need to stay within 100 feet of your entry altitude. The bank angle should be appropriate for the wind conditions, and your turns need to be smooth and continuous. Sounds straightforward, right? Here's where it goes wrong for almost everyone. Mistake number one, picking the wrong road. Your examiner is going to say something like, "Find a suitable reference line and set up for S-turns." And in that moment, a lot of students panic. They pick the first road they see. Maybe it's a highway with cars on it. And now they're worried about the minimum safe altitude requirement under Federal Aviation Regulation 91.119. Maybe it's a winding road, and now their semicircles don't have a straight reference to work against. Maybe it's aligned with the wind instead of perpendicular to it, and the whole maneuver becomes meaningless. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Take 15 seconds to choose your road. The examiner is not timing you with a stopwatch. They want to see you think. Find a road that runs roughly perpendicular to the wind. Make sure it's long enough that you won't run out of reference. Make sure there's no congested area underneath you that would require you to fly higher than the maneuver altitude makes sense for. A country road in open farmland is perfect. Straight, long, clearly visible, no population concerns. And while you're picking that road, glance at the wind. You know where it's coming from because you checked the weather before you flew. You know what the winds aloft are doing at your altitude. But confirm it. Look at the smoke, the dust, the ripples on a pond. Know where the wind is coming from before you roll into the first turn. Mistake number two, entering on the wrong side. The Airman Certification Standards say you enter S-turns on a downwind heading. That means you cross the road with the wind pushing you from behind. Why? Because the first half circle you fly will be the one where you need the steepest bank. The wind is pushing you away from the road, so you need more bank to curve back toward it. A lot of students forget this. They just roll into the maneuver whichever way feels natural, and suddenly the geometry is backward. They're shallow when they should be steep, and steep when they should be shallow. The examiner sees it immediately. So remember, wings level, cross the road with the wind at your back, then begin your first turn. Mistake number three. This is the big one, treating the bank angle as constant. This is where the maneuver separates the students who understand the wind from the students who are just making shapes in the sky. In a no-wind day, S-turns would be easy. You just pick a bank angle, hold it through each semicircle, roll wings level over the road, and reverse. Perfect half circles every time. But there's always wind. And that wind means your bank has to change continuously throughout each semicircle. Let's say the wind is coming from the north and your road runs east-west. You cross the road heading south, wind at your back, and you begin a turn to the right. At this point, the wind is carrying you away from the road quickly. You need a relatively steep bank to curve your ground track back toward the road before you've drifted too far. As you come around the turn and start heading more into the wind is no longer pushing you away from the road as aggressively, so your bank starts to shallow. By the time you're heading north, directly into the wind, your ground speed is at its slowest and you need the shallowest bank to maintain the same radius over the ground. Then you cross the road again, wings level for just a moment. Now you're turning the other direction, but this time you're heading into the wind at the start, so you begin with a shallow bank. As you come around and the wind starts pushing you from behind, your bank gradually steepens. By the time you're heading south again, full downwind, you're at your steepest bank. Then you cross the road, wings level, and start all over. The bank is always changing. Steep when the wind is pushing you away from the road. Shallow when you're fighting into the wind. It's a continuous flowing adjustment. Not step, 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 smooth. Here's the mental model that finally made this click for me. Imagine you're a bird looking down at your airplane from above. You want to see a perfect semicircle traced on the ground. The wind is trying to push that circle into an egg shape. Your job is to fight the egg and keep the circle round. More bank when the wind is winning, less bank when you're heading into it, and the wind is losing. Mistake number 4, forgetting about altitude. The airman certification standards give you plus or minus 100 feet. That sounds generous until you're halfway through a steep bank turn and you've forgotten that bank angles steal vertical lift. The steeper you bank, the more back pressure you need to maintain altitude. But then, when you shallow out, if you don't relax that back pressure, you're going to climb. I see students go through S-turns like a roller coaster. They lose 50 feet in the steep portions and gain 50 feet in the shallow portions. The total deviation stays within limits, but the examiner sees it and knows you're behind the airplane. The fix is simple. Set your power for level flight at the entry speed. Then pay attention to your altitude throughout the maneuver, especially during bank changes. A quick glance at the altimeter every time you pass through the steepest bank will keep you honest. Mistake number 5. Rushing the wings level moment over the road. When you cross the road, your wings need to be level, not banked left, not banked right, level, and your ground track at that moment should be perpendicular to the road. A lot of students roll too fast. They're still banked 5 degrees when they cross the reference line, or they cross at an angle because they started their rollout too late. The examiner is looking for a crisp, wings-level crossing every single time. It's the moment that shows precision. Here's the fix. Start your rollout early enough that your wings are level by the time you reach the road, not after you've crossed it. This takes practice. In a strong wind, you'll be rolling out from a steep bank on the downwind side, which means you need to start earlier. In a light wind, the bank change is less dramatic and the rollout is quicker. Now, let me give you the real secret to S-turns that nobody puts in the textbook. Look outside. I know that sounds obvious, but the number one reason students butcher this maneuver is that they're staring at the altimeter or the attitude indicator instead of looking at the road. The road is your primary reference. Your relationship to the road tells you everything. Are you drifting away too fast? More bank? Is your track flattening out? Less bank? Are you going to cross the road before your semicircle is complete? You started too steep. The road tells you the truth. The instruments confirm it. But the road comes first. If you practice this maneuver in light wind, you won't learn much. The bank changes are so subtle that you can almost fly a constant bank and get away with it. That's a trap, because on check ride day, there will be wind. There's always wind on check ride day. So practice in 12 to 15 knots or more. That's where the maneuver teaches you something. And here's the deeper lesson. Everything about S-turns applies directly to the traffic pattern. When you fly a rectangular course around a runway, you're making wind corrections on every leg, crabbing on the crosswind and base legs, adjusting your bank on the turns from downwind to base and base to final. The pilot who nails S-turns is the pilot who makes smooth, stabilized approaches. The pilot who struggles with S-turns is the pilot who overshoots final. The examiner knows this. That's why ground reference maneuvers are in the airman certification standards. They're not busy work. They're the foundation. One more practical tip. When you're practicing, have a plan for what altitude you'll fly these at. The airman certification standards say the maneuver should be performed at an altitude that allows you to easily see the reference line while maintaining safe ground clearance. For most training environments, somewhere between 600 and 1,000 feet above ground level works well. High enough to be safe and legal, low enough that you can clearly see the road and judge your distance from it, and make sure you do a clearing turn before you start. Two 90-degree turns or one 180. Clear the area. The examiner is watching to see if you check for traffic before you start maneuvering at low altitude. It's an easy point to give away if you forget. So to bring it all together, pick a good road perpendicular to the wind. Enter on a downwind heading. Vary your bank continuously, steep when downwind, shallow when headwind. Maintain altitude, cross wings level every time. And look at the road. Practice that until it feels boring, and you'll walk into your check ride knowing that this one is already in the bag. The material today comes from the Federal Aviation Administration's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards. Both are free on the FAA's website if you want to read the details yourself. More episodes and resources at radiohangar.com. Fly one of these tomorrow morning when the wind picks up. That's where the learning lives.